This episode of Tech News Weekly is brought to you by Braintree Payments. Mobile app development can be complex, but integrating your payments no longer has to be. With Braintree, your business can accept nearly every type of payment from any device with just one integration. Learn more, go to BraintreePayments.com/TNW. And by Hostpapa. Hostpapa's powerful web hosting solution and cloud-based productivity tools are perfect for small business owners, digital entrepreneurs, and freelancers. Go to Hostpapa.com/GFQ today and use our exclusive promo code GFQ to save 15% off their most popular shared web hosting packages. That's Hostpapa.com/GFQ.
Starting Tech News Weekly in 3, 2, 1.
Everybody, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only Suncast. How you doing, John?
Hey, Andrew, what's up?
Not much. I'm getting ready to get the hell out of here.
Oh, yeah?
I'm counting down the days. I'm going to Jamaica.
Nice.
Jamaica, Queens. I'm going to Jamaica Avenue in Queens, New York. That's where I'm going. No, I'm going.
It's a staycation.
Yeah, it's a staycation. No, I'm going to Jamaica. We're going to the lovely area of Montego Bay. We're staying at Sandals this coming week. So this will probably be the last show.
Are you going to get your hair done in cornrows while you're there?
You know what? I would love to do it. If my hair was still long, oh, man. When I was shaving the sides of my head, I would have definitely done it when I had the little bun. But I don't have the bun. This week, guys, we have a very, very special guest. Somebody that I've seen all over the internet, actually. And I've heard great things about from... our very own John. He's a co-host on the Gunna Geek podcast. He also does the Starling Tribune, an Arrow fan podcast, which there's a lot of crossover between Arrow and pro wrestling right now. I wonder if he knows what I'm talking about. Also the host of the Nerd Alert News, we have Chris Farrell. How you doing, Chris?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on today.
So did you get the crossover reference between pro wrestling and Arrow?
I did. Cody Rhodes is going to be a villain in season 5 of Arrow this season. I don't think they've said the character he'll be playing, but he's been caught like in the gym wearing Destroy Queen t-shirts and stuff like that now.
Very interesting. I cannot wait to see that, actually.
It's going to be really cool. They had a really good dynamic, those two, anyways. So
getting
captured on the small screen will be fun.
It'll be very interesting. You can follow Chris on Twitter at @TheChrisFerrell, F-E-R-R-E-L-L. This is the first time you're on the show, so I'm glad that you're here because... whenever, you know, John posts a Gunna Geek podcast, whenever he's on there, I always check it out, and you're there. You're always there.
I try to be, and John's always been gracious enough to come and join us when we're lacking a host. So
no, I think you guys do a phenomenal job. Seriously, you guys do a great
Absolutely.
Job with the podcast.
Well, I do appreciate hearing that. It's our baby.
You know how I know it's really good? John dislikes everything.
That's okay? True.
He really hates everything. And for him to say, no, these guys are really good, it's a really good show, I'm like, God, this thing has to be great. And it is. So when one of the hardest hitting critics says it's good, it has to be good. Guys, we have a lot to talk about today. Pokemon Go Madness has sweeped the country. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Well, actually, a lot about that. Nintendo's releasing the NES once again and a lot more stuff. But before we continue, I want to thank our sponsor, and that's Braintree, a PayPal company. Guys, we've been talking about Braintree for over a year now. If you have a business, if you have an application, if you are a developer, if you're a small business owner, a large business owner, and you have the task of creating a mobile app service, some way to accept mobile payments, it's a very, very confusing and difficult job. And it's a very, very delicate job because you have to... add lines of code from all different things. You have to smash them together. You got to make sure it works. Not only that, you also have to keep up with the latest trends in different payment methods, whether it's Apple Pay, if it's Samsung Pay, Android Pay, all different credit cards, Bitcoin, whatever the latest currency is, and whether there's a future currency coming into play and a future method of payment coming into play. You kind of have to know this, and it could be very difficult and confusing to kind of put everything together. But not with Braintree. Braintree is a very, very simple and elegant piece of code where you could just pop it in and you are ready to accept a almost every single payment method you could imagine. The SDK is in many, many languages, so you don't have to worry about that. The code is great, and it comes with a lot of support. If you are having problems, if your developer's having a lot of problems with this, they can just contact them, and they will be more than willing to help them out. For the consumer side, guys, it's really important that people start doing token authentication rather than storing the credit card information. And with Braintree, it's token-based, so you don't have to worry about, you know, data breaches of your credit card number happening. We've seen these stories in the news for years now, and only if they use Braintree, this would not have happened. Learn more by going to BraintreePayments.com/TNW. That's BraintreePayments.com/TNW. I want to thank Braintree for supporting Tech News Weekly and, of course, for supporting the GFK Network. They're on a number of our shows here, and we absolutely love them. And, guys, if you are using Braintree and you have implemented it, we love to hear the stories. So send it our way. Tweet me, message me, email me. I love to hear these stories about how you implemented this and how it worked for you. Because I've heard, just amazing, amazing stories from our listener base about, you know, using it. BraintreePayments.com/TNW. I want to thank them for supporting the show. So I guess we should start off with Pokemon Go. By a raise of hands.
What's that? What's Pokemon Go?
Yeah, by a raise of hands, let's figure out who's playing Pokemon Go. Me. Three of us. There you go. So we have three people playing. I am not a big Pokemon fan. Let me just tell you that. I never played it when I was younger. It didn't really appeal to me. It wasn't my thing. I know a lot of people that did. My brother's generation, forget it. Single one of them. If you're under 27, I'm going to say, you probably played Pokemon when you were a kid. You either got the cards or the games. But this game has swept the country and the world. I think now it's launched in Europe, right?
Yes.
It released July 6th. 21 million daily active users. It is installed on more phones than Tinder. That is an unbelievable statistic. I was actually shocked. More phones have this installed than Tinder. Has surpassed a number of daily active users on Twitter.
That is huge,
which
right
is
there.
Humongous.
Huge.
Well, that's, you know, massive. I have a whole theory about Twitter at this point. We're just bots. I think Twitter is like 90% bots at this point.
Probably.
The biggest mobile game in history, bigger than Candy Crush Soda and Draw Something, which
did you say Candy Crush Soda?
Oh, Saga. There is Candy Crush Soda, though. There is a Candy Crush Soda.
That sounded delicious.
Candy Crush Soda.
I would drink that.
Okay, I would drink it, too. and here's a great thing. T-Mobile is offering a year free of Pokemon Go data. So I guess people are burning through the data. I don't know how much data you could actually burn through with that game, considering it's a very light, you know, on the bandwidth type game.
You know, it is, because I've been watching this for the past 2 or 3 days, and my data usage is not going up by much. So I'm very surprised at that with as much data as it's using for loading maps and GPS.
Yeah. Now, with any story like this, so explain to people, John, what it is, what the game is. If you do not know what this game is, break it down and explain to someone.
The easiest way that I've been able to explain this game to most people is that it's like a virtual scavenger hunt. Everybody knows what a scavenger hunt is, where you go around and you try to find certain things based off of clues.
Yes.
Well, Pokemon Go has basically the same concept as a scavenger hunt, but it's based on augmented reality, where you have an application that you're looking at a map, and it has a whole bunch of hints and stuff on it for you where to walk to find Pokemon.
So how do the hints work?
And that's basically what you're doing, is you're just driving around or walking around, however you want to go, and to places, trying to find Pokemon and catch them.
Okay, explain. What are the hints?
That's basically what you do.
What are the hints? Like, how do they hint you?
Well, there's a couple of hints. One is, if you see the tall grass moving, that's one of the hints that there are Pokemon nearby. The other one is that down in the lower right corner, you'll see a little thing that has a bunch of characters on other Pokemon. If you click that, it says nearby. That tells you what Pokemon is nearby. And underneath each of those characters, you'll see a number of paw prints or footprints. And depending on how many footprints that you see, depends on how close it is. For example, if you see a Pokemon with, say, 3 footprints, it's pretty far away. But if you see one with 1 or 0 footprints, it's very close to you.
Okay. Chris, you started playing. Did you start day one, or did you slowly get into it recently?
So I slowly got into it, but not by choice, because my cell phone blew up on me last week. So I was waiting for a replacement cell phone before I could start playing. But my girlfriend, however, is a huge Pokemon fan, has been forever, was playing from day one and has caught tons of these things. And I didn't think I'd like it, and I really did, because I tried Ingress, which is the first game that Niantic Studios made.
Yeah.
It is the makers of Pokemon Go. Wasn't my cup of tea, but I think it just shows how powerful that Pokemon craze is to people in general, that it's so addictive. Anyone's getting hooked on it.
So what's appealing? And I'll go down the list. Like, I know John's not a gamer, and I used to play a lot of games.
And
but
that's the funny thing is, like, I'm not a gamer. I don't like games. I don't like playing games. But I like Pokemon.
Why?
I like Pokemon Go.
Why?
I don't know. It's just fun having to go out and catch these things. As long as it's not terribly difficult. There are some that are more difficult to catch than others. But for the most part, it's fun to try and go to these places. Go to the Pokestops and try and find different Pokemon.
Chris, how about you? What's appealing about this game to you?
It's kind of an adventure. I mean, you're used to, I can play this on my Game Boy. That's no problem. And you wander around. But this is kind of putting you in the game. And you're kind of going out and exploring. And there's that surprise moment of, I didn't think anything was here. And wow, this Pokemon out of nowhere showed up. I've just enjoyed that surprise aspect. And part of it also has been great is seeing the community that's developed. Because as I was walking around downtown here on Wednesday night, there were crowds of people walking around trying to catch Pokemon going, oh, did you see that one? It was really cool, just the experience like that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think it's a lot of it is the companionship where you could play with other people. I went to my bar yesterday. I spent the afternoon there. That's what I like to tell people. I spent the afternoon at the bar. And
the afternoon?
Well, the early afternoon into the evening, John. How long was I there?
You were there most of the day, in my opinion.
Yeah, pretty much. I was at the bar for the majority of the day. And but the thing about the place is there, I don't know why. Press 195 in Queens, in Bayside. That I got in, like, within like 3 hours I had like 30 Pokemon. It's insane how many I was just sitting there and they're just coming
to
me.
Dude, you are so lucky that you have an area where you can go to that has that amount of activity.
It was crazy, but what amazed me was this game has appealed to men, to women, to kids, to teenagers, to young adults, to older people. I mean, everybody, every demo is playing this game, which is amazing to me. And it's in a weird way, you know, you think about these games and they're not very active and they take away from actually doing things in public. But this game is totally the opposite, right? I think it's making people be more social than not.
There was a story that somebody pointed out to me about a mother and her autistic son, and she is just super happy because of this game has helped her son get more social interaction with people.
Interesting,
where
right?
He's going out to these Pokestops, and other people that they're encountering that are playing Pokemon Go are actually helping her son.
Yeah.
And in doing so, it's this new level of interaction that her autistic son has never had or experienced before.
Yeah, see, that's amazing. That's amazing. I read a post. Actually in my I have a pro wrestling group on Facebook. And this guy wrote this post about how he suffers from severe social anxiety, and this game has really helped him overcome it, and it's taken him years to be comfortable to go out, and with this game he's made like 10 years of progress. And it's amazing to me, you know. I think it's that. Chris, do you think this is more of, what do you think of the social aspect to this game? I know we're getting off from the technology of this, but I am going to come back to this because I do think this is the future of the way that we interact with games. What do you think of the social aspect of what Pokemon Go has created?
So the social aspect is why I think this will have more staying power than some of those other apps that just kind of pop up. They're popular for a couple weeks and people move on to the next thing. The interactivity and meeting up with people and going off on groups to go and do this it's huge. It's really cool to see. And I mean, I've seen folks on Facebook talking about Pokemon Go bar crawls and Pokemon town crawls and stuff like that, where they're trying to organize social events to get groups of Pokemon gamers together to go and catch Pokemon together. And yes, there's teams in the game, but nobody's really like diehearted going, oh, I hate you because you're team red and I'm team blue. There's nothing like that. The community has been very welcoming, and it feels very Nintendo-esque in that regard.
Yeah, it is very because... it is very Nintendo-esque. I agree with you. So our friend Nick in Albany, has put together a Pokemon, I guess, crawl, right? Is that what it
walk.
Is, John?
Walk. It's a Pokemon Go walk is okay. what they're calling it.
Okay, and it's. Do you have the information about it? Maybe you could talk about it a little bit.
I can get it real quick. Or at least I can look
yeah.
for it.
Yeah, so he put together this crawl. I think it's called Albany. I don't know what it is. It's like Albany Pokemon Walk or something like that in the park. And he put this thing together. I don't think he thought he would get as many people as he did. It's gotten all over the place. It's all over. It's gotten
it
picked
is.
Up in all...
The Pokemon Go Walk taking place this Saturday, July 16th from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. And it's in Washington Park in Albany.
It's in Washington Park. I mean, he has like hundreds of people going. Hundreds.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome. I mean, it's amazing to me that this has, you know, gotten to that level in a matter of, you know, 10 days. Now, there are some bad stories that are coming with this, like the woman that was found dead. What was that story, John?
Oh, no.
Apparently, a woman was going and trying to catch Pokemon, and in doing so, she stumbled upon a dead body.
Oh, my God.
She was down by the river trying to catch some water Pokemon, and when she got to the river, she found a dead body face down in the water that had probably been there for at least 4 or 5 hours was the early projections, yeah. but... She was shaken up over it, but when the positive is, had I not found it, God knows how long this person would have been there and yeah. been missing for with no one knowing. So, silver lining, I guess.
Yeah. So, also, people are getting robbed. That's the other part of this.
Yeah, that happened here in Flint.
Yeah.
Where it was just the other night, too, and I had just posted on Facebook, and I'm like, it's nearly 1 a.m., and I really want to go chase Pokemon, but I really don't want to go get mugged. And then the next morning, I saw this article on a website talking about two people that were in Flint that got robbed around 1:40 a.m.
Yeah, I do not recommend going out at 1 in the morning and 2 in the morning trying to find Pokemon. Really.
No, it definitely wait. Not in no. Flint.
It could wait. I don't care. I don't care where you are. I don't care if it's Flint. I don't care if it's, you know, the Manhasset. It's not a good idea. It is not a good idea to go out and start playing this thing at night.
No, and Flint isn't the only place where people have been robbed. I guess some people in Kentucky were robbed, and there's been car accidents, and somebody in New York crashed their car, and they admitted they were playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I don't get that mentality. But again, this is new technology, and we're dumb, and we don't know how to use new stuff.
Yeah, you called it right there.
Yeah, that's what happens. We get very excited. We have no idea how to use new technology, new stuff. We got very excited.
You know what this is? There was an episode, I think, called The Game of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this episode, but it's that one where they put on this glasses thing and they're trying to get the ball into the hoop or whatever.
It was the early version of Google Glass.
It was the early yeah. version of Google Glass, yeah.
And it is exactly like that episode where everybody just starts playing this game and they're so addicted to it that they aren't doing anything else. They're not doing any of their duties on the ship. They're just playing this game. And that's exactly what's happening with Pokemon Go.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. The holographic game that controls minds. The game. Yeah, this is yes. Yeah, this is awesome.
Then Wesley Crusher saved the day when it was all said and done.
But you know what? It wasn't even virtual reality. It was augmented reality, which is amazing, right? 1991, yep. They did this in Star Trek. The kind of show. And that's exactly what we're doing. So there are going to be some changes to the game also. There are going to be some improvements, some features that are going to be changed, like future plans to include sponsored locations, trading of Pokemon, and improved Pokestops and gyms. Legendary Pictures is reportedly working hard to secure rights for the Pokemon franchise for a live-action film, according to Deadline reports. And there were also some concerns over the privacy settings in Pokemon Go. The app apparently had full access to your Google account. This supposedly was a mistake, and they've fixed the problem since then. I'm curious to see how this game changes, but this is a huge, huge story for Nintendo. Best day earnings since 1983 they had last week, all because of this game. And mm-hmm. this may encourage Nintendo to kind of open up to the idea of being on other platforms with their products. I do see them doing... Now, Chris, let me ask you this. Do you see them doing a Zelda version of this and a Mario version of this and a Metroid version of this to kind of capitalize on, you know, just using that one engine for all their franchises?
I don't know if they'd do that. I kind of see them taking more of the Blizzard approach like Blizzard did with WoW and just keep building up the machine and keep everyone going to it, because I don't know if you'd fragment it too much, but you'd fragment the user base if you had six different Nintendo versions of Pokemon Go out there.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how, you know, what's amazing, Ingress did not do so great when it first came out.
Well, Ingress was only Android as well, which was part of the things that hurt it.
Yeah, and Pokemon Go is essentially a dumbed-down version of Ingress. It's a cleaned-up
version. Sure.
And it's doing unbelievable. I'm really fascinated by this game and how it changes everything. Or, listen, we could all be sick and tired of it in a couple weeks, and this will just be a little blip. In the radar of 2016, you know?
I mean, that's the question is, how long is this going to last? Is it really just a blip, like a fad? People are calling this a fad. Like, it's going to be over, you know, within 6 months. I don't know about that, but right now, it's the biggest thing to happen to mobile gaming, period.
You know, people said that about WoW, right? I played WoW for years, and I just one day decided I was going to stop because it overtook my life. I mean, I was literally playing this thing all the time. But people said, well, it's the repetitive nature of WoW. People, you're going to get tired of it. People aren't going to play this for that long. And guess what? I mean, what is it, 10 years now, Chris?
Something like that. Right? I never got into WoW.
No, 12 years. 12 years?
I couldn't play because I knew I would dominate my life and I would have failed out of college and things like that because I would have just played video games.
That's great. That's actually smart. That's why I actually stopped. So we'll see what happens with this. Nintendo also.
So what level and what teams are everybody?
I am Valor.
Oh, you suck then.
I'm Team Valor. I don't know why, because I just went with Red. And I like them that they're heels. They're bad guys, you know? And I am level 7. What are you, John? What level are you?
I'm Team Mystic, and I'm at level 9.
And Chris?
Level 7, Team Mystic.
Why is everybody Team Mystic? Well, what's special about them?
Well, blue's one
everybody
of my color
colors. Everybody
likes blue.
I guess so. I guess that's what it is. Everybody loves blue. Guys, we have a lot more to talk about. I also want to talk about the Nintendo is back. I'm very excited about that. Very, very excited that Nintendo's back. But I want to talk about our sponsor, and new to this show, is Host Papa. If you're looking for web hosting for your small business or personal needs, HostPapa is the place to go. To go to hostpapa.com/GFQ. They have a great deal for you guys. Let me pull this up right here. Look at this. $3.95 a month, exclusively for GFQ members. $3.95 a month starting, and you get 15% off when you use the code GFQ at checkout. Now, HostPapa is a turnkey solution. It makes it easy for small business owners, digital entrepreneurs, and freelancers to get a website up and running. They literally have everything your business needs, including lightning-fast servers, professional email, automated website backup, which is very important, cutting-edge security, which is very important, and hundreds of cloud-based productivity tools. There's no limit on how awesome your website could be. I'm going to tell you, having a website and maintaining these sites and dealing with different hosting companies, it can be a total pain in the butt. But, thank you, John. What was that?
In there.
Yep, thank you. But with HostPapa, the great thing about them is that they have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year support, whether you want to do it via email, phone, or chat. Somebody is there for you to help you out. They also, if you need extra help, they'll even give you a free dedicated 30-minute one-on-one training session with one of their experts. No other web host does that at all. That does not exist if you go to anywhere else. Shared hosting plans beginning at $3.95. They have the $3.95, which is a startup plan. They also have a middle plan that is also $3.95 right now. And with the middle plan, you get unlimited bandwidth, and you go down the list. It's a lot of stuff you get with them. The other thing that they do, there's no risk. 30-day money-back guarantee. When you go to hostpapa.com/GFQ and you sign up there and you get your 15% off. Guys, if you're looking for a new web host, these guys are great. Really, really personable people. I spent like an hour with them on the phone, and I really, really enjoyed the conversation we had. Hostpapa.com/GFQ. Get 15% off powerful, reliable, and secure web hosting for your small business needs. And listen, guys, personal needs as well. doesn't necessarily just have to be small business. I want to thank HostPot for supporting the JFK Network and, of course, for supporting TNW. John, you want to go into a story?
So there's some other big Nintendo news that came out this week. They announced that they are launching and releasing the Nintendo Classic Mini. Everybody loves the original NES, right? Well, now are releasing a mini version of that that includes 30 games. It looks just like the original one, of course, only smaller, and it connects to your TV through HDMI. It comes with 30 games. Only 30 games, by the way. They're not going to release any more than these 30 games. Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3. Kirby's Adventure, The Legend of Zelda, Excitebike. If anybody remembers Excitebike, because that was an awesome game just to play around.
I'm a little disappointed that it's not going to be upgradable. That would have been really cool if you could buy more games and add it to that. But I got 30 games. You know,
somebody might be able to figure out a way to do that.
Yeah, you know what I'm wondering? What is it inside? You know,
there's a lot of theories that it's a stripped down DS inside, is what a lot of people are thinking. Because if you go and look at the games that are coming on this, they've all been made available on Virtual Console for the DSs.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting. My brother just built a Raspberry Pi with a Nintendo case, the mini Nintendo case on there.
And
he just loaded up like 400 games. So, I mean, I guess that's a better deal than this. But $60 coming in time for the holiday season, I think this is going to be a big seller.
Oh, yeah. It's really cool. And, you know, like I said, I'm not a big gamer, but this is interesting to me because it's that classic NES that I loved as a kid. Back when I actually did love games.
So would you buy this?
You know, I've been asked that question before, and you know, I probably wouldn't just because I'm too busy playing Pokemon Go.
So how about you, Chris? Would you buy this?
I'm on the fence about it. I'm really intrigued by it, but I'm more of an SNES guy. I loved my NES, but it's Super Nintendo games I was all about. So I'm really hoping this starts a trend of let's make more mini systems.
Yeah, but what are they going to do? They're going to have like man, my face is really bloated up today. Jeez. All that sushi I had yesterday. What are they going to do? They're going to do like the Nintendo Classic Mini 1, Nintendo Classic Mini 2, and they're just going to keep adding more and more games to them?
It'd be an interesting way to do it. I mean, it's a concept that's out there that I think they could leverage. A lot of these games have been available on Virtual Console, and I don't know how well they've been selling after the initial release. So here's how you get more people on. Although I think they missed something by not making it, say, a $99 machine with expandable memory, and it was you can download and buy more games from Nintendo.
I would love that, actually. That would have been great.
Yeah, they're kind of limiting themselves there where, you know, this is what you get. That's it. We're not doing anything more. It's just almost to the point where, okay, then why do it? Because you obviously had plans to do this, but then you have no future plans for the device.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a one and done, it seems like.
It does seem like it's a one and done. They're gonna make a crazy amount of money over the holiday season. I would
suppose NX coming soon.
The what?
There are new consoles coming soon, NX, too. Yeah. So they're gonna be making some cash.
Yeah, good for Nintendo. I'm glad. Amazon Prime Day was this week also. I bought some stuff. Did you guys buy anything? John, I know Sunkist, I know you bought some stuff.
Oh yeah.
How about you, Chris?
Oh yeah. I bought a new cell phone because mine fried, and then I got the Amazon Echo finally.
Oh, you got the Echo.
I've been dabbling in home automation, so that was going to be the new brains for my home automation for controlling lights and things like that. So price it was down to, I couldn't beat it.
So did you set it up?
I set it up yesterday when it came in the mail, and I have enjoyed it so far. I did not think I would like it that much, but once I started playing with it and seeing how it responded to questions and things like that, I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. It's not $200 cool, and I wish I had jumped on when it was $99 as a Prime exclusive when they were betaing it. But for the $129, I can live with it. It's not bad. It's pretty cool, and I've just scratched the surface of what it can do.
Yeah, so the home automation stuff is fascinating to me, too, because I've started to convert a lot of my... Like, my bedroom, the lighting in my bedroom, I've converted over to smart lights. So I'm going to start doing one room at a time, and I want to do, like, a whole entire room that's totally automated. You know, it's just... It gets complicated when you're getting stuff to work, but I know with Amazon, with their Echo, everything is pretty much compatible with this thing.
Yeah, they work on just about everything. And what's really nice is I keep the Echo in my kitchen because it's pretty much the central room in my house. And before I come down to podcasts and stuff like that, there's a lamp behind me that is literally just used for lighting up the room when all the rest of the lights are off. So I'm like, Alexa, turn on the office lights. And I come downstairs, the light's already on, everything's good to go, and I just flip off the switch. So it's a total first world problem having Alexa to turn on lights and stuff for you. Yeah. But it is really cool the first time you do it and you're like, this is badass.
TVZ God in the chat room says, I got the Echo, the first round in beta for $99. It's so fun. The kids love it, and the wife does as well. Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. This was a great time to get it. Amazon sold over 500,000 Fire TVs globally. Fire TV devices, so meaning it could be one of the number of devices that they have right now. They have what? They have two sticks, and they have two regular ones, right? Two of the big ones. Ontario-based Vivir sold a whopping 24,000 hammocks after dropping the retail price from $129 to $179.
No, read that again.
No, I'm sorry. $129 to $79. Thank you. On average, they sell 4,000 hammocks a month. They sold 24,000.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
60% more sales than last year. Some buyers
because
had trouble.
They were good sales this year.
It was actually really good sales this year. So I bought something, and it's still marked down on Amazon. Look what I bought.
Is it the same thing I bought?
Yes, I bought an ATR. I bought an AT2005.
That is a great mic, and I could not pass up the opportunity to buy that.
Yeah,
you can still get it now. It says it's like $56 if you buy it from Amazon, and you have to make sure that you buy it from Amazon, by the way. And if you buy it from Amazon, you'll get an additional 20% off. So like it'll only cost you $45 for this microphone that is normally around $79.
Yeah, I thought it was a great deal. So after the show, I'm actually going to do like a little side-by-side comparison of my mic and this mic.
I think we all have one because mine was sitting right here because it was my original mic that I was using for everything, and now it's a backup.
So what's yours? What are you using now?
I'm using a Blue Encore 100. I originally got it as my backup, but then once I set it up, I liked my voice just a little bit better on the Encore than I did on the AT2005.
Interesting. Yeah, I have this as my mobile mic. I'm going to probably need this when I'm in Jamaica.
It's great for that.
Because I have to record a couple of things, so I'm going to bring this with me. But I've given so many of these away. And I have about three of them in my house at this point, but I couldn't resist the purchase because it was so cheap. And it's a great mic. I mean, I feel like this time around, they've kind of changed just the body of this a little bit.
You're a podcaster. You can never have too many mics.
There's no such thing as too many mics. but they did great. The sales were really, really good. They were very aggressively priced. I think the deal is that in order to qualify, you have to be at least 20% off, right? So it wasn't these, junky things that were going on. 60% more sales.
Well, there was the Glow Bowl.
What is
that? I don't know if you saw this. It was this light that you put in your toilet, and it lights up your toilet bowl.
I mean, who doesn't want a radioactive blue color emitting from their toilet bowl in the middle of the night?
That doesn't seem
ominous. I was so tempted to buy one just for the heck of it.
Did you buy it?
No.
How much was it?
Good you didn't. It was $15. And you know what? This is going to sound really bad. I go to Bed Bath & Beyond occasionally because it's right next to the dog groomer. And I walked in there and I saw that. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I picked it up. It was that same thing for $15. So it really wasn't on sale. You just thought it was a good deal because Amazon said it was.
You know what Amazon has? I've discovered this weird section of Amazon. And it's like these weird gadgets and like gizmos and things like that. This is something new they started doing about a year ago. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
It's like their version of Kickstarter almost.
Yeah. They have their own Kickstarter version, but they also have, and I bought something from their Kickstarter version. I bought this like home garden thing with the light on top. So, and it almost looks like a Keurig. They come in pods and you put the pod in and then it just grows whatever vegetables and herbs and whatever you're doing.
Cool.
Okay. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Where is this weird section? New and Amazon exclusive. So there's like an Amazon exclusive area. Numline. There you go. So they have this new section for Amazon exclusives, but where is it? Oh, interesting and new. New and interesting finds. So, but look at these weird things that they profile.
That's odd.
Isn't it weird?
Everyone wants a stuffed clam.
Yeah. Who doesn't want a stuffed clam?
Look Grumpy cat.
Grumpy cat. Like, I don't know what this is. Like, what is this? a fire truck coin bank for kids.
Only $38.
Only $38. You're not even going to be able to put enough coins to make have $38 in there. Isn't that like fascinating that this is like a section now?
A Deadpool kitty or goth kitty?
Goth kitty. Is that what that is?
I guess. Goth Hello Kitty or something like that.
I think it's so weird that they're doing it, but it's apparently doing well for them. You know, this is, they're kind of competing with like a Spencer's like gag gift store or with Urban Outfitters, you know, because they have a lot of this junky stuff over there. I thought it was really interesting. And then now they also profile men's and women's clothing, which I bought a couple things from Amazon once, and I bought this jacket from there. It was like a bomber jacket, and it was a medium. I could barely fit my arm in there because it was made for China. It was for the Asian market. So the medium, my arm was just tearing the entire thing apart. I mean, it was it was like $20, but, you know, I thought it was really funny. Now, Amazon's really stepping it up. I think they're getting ready for the holiday season, because if the sales are so good for this one, I expect them to have a really good Black Friday, because normally their Black Fridays are terrible. I think we spoke about that last time, John, right?
Yeah, well, Amazon Prime Day last year I didn't think was all that great. I didn't think there was all that great of deals. I mean, of course, you're always going to have great deals on the Amazon stuff, and Amazon stuff is awesome. You can buy that stuff all day long. I love my Amazon Fire TV, and I think, you know, the tablets and everything else that Amazon sells, aside from the phone, of course.
Yeah.
Nobody talks
really
about
good.
That anymore.
Yeah, that phone is done, right? That phone is finished. Major flop, in my opinion. Hey, let's talk about Windows for a minute, guys. Microsoft confirmed recently that it'll make Windows 10 available as a subscription-based service for enterprise customers. Now, there was also a story that now you could get the Surface also for a monthly fee, as if it's a service instead of a device. Priced at $7 per month per user, enterprise customers will have to pay $84 per user per year for basic Windows 10 subscription. Microsoft plans to make this available for larger packages, including Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, but not revealing the pricing information for those yet. What do you guys think of Windows being a subscription service? I actually think it is a really smart idea on their behalf. I'll go to you first, John.
I'm mixed and torn about this, because on one hand, I'm a cheap person, and it's yet another subscription that I don't need. You know, we already have all these things that we're paying a subscription for: Netflix, Hulu, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Red, et cetera, et cetera. And so now we're going to do this new subscription service for Windows. If there isn't one for, you know, the general consumer, this is just for enterprise, by the way, just so that nobody gets confused about this. But if was one for the general consumer, I don't know that I would be thrilled with that, in the sense that, you know, a lot of us have these PCs that we build and we keep around for years to come. So now you're saying we're basically have to pay a Windows 10 license every single year for a PC. And in that regard, it could be more costly than people want.
So this is what listen to what they did here, okay? They also have actually, I'm sorry, Chris. Let me go to you first. What do you think of this?
So it's something Satya Nadella has been kind of gearing them towards since he took over there. Remember, he touted the whole idea of Windows as a service when Windows 10 was launching and things like that. So it doesn't surprise me. The question is, how long is enterprise going to cling to Windows 7 before they have to go over to Windows 10?
Yeah. I think for enterprise, this kind of makes sense, because they want to entice people to buy it, and buying bulk licenses like this, it can be really cost heavy, and it could get very expensive for companies. So this may be a good way to keep these companies constantly connected with the latest and greatest. At the end of the day, it helps them out. You know, it helps at Microsoft out, because they don't have to support older hardware, older software. The other thing that they announced that I'm shocked did not get a lot of play, or as much play as I thought it would, but they announced early in June, they announced that there's a Surface membership plan. So the plans begin at $33 a month, which gives buyers a Surface 3, or for $52, you get a Surface Pro 4, or for $80, you get a Surface Book. And the plans are customizable for 18, 24, or 30 months, and you can choose everything from the processor to the memory to the storage options. You don't get to stop there. You could, if you want to be the boss with a nice i7 equipped Surface Book. So pretty much you're leasing the computer.
The same as you would, you know, a phone these days.
The same as you would with a phone. So you, let's say you pay $80 a month. For 10 months, that's $800. The Surface Book, let's say, is $2,000. So you pay $80. So within 3 years, after 30 months, you've paid this thing off. Members are also given a discount on future hardware buys, the option to upgrade in the future and maintain their membership, and free Microsoft Complete Business packages. So I'm curious if you own it once you're done paying it, though. That's what I'm trying to figure out. But why do you care, right? If you have the money, if you have the $80 a month to spend, right? You could forever have a brand new computer.
I could see where that'd be appealing to a lot of folks. I mean, from my standpoint, I don't know that I would care for that. I'd rather just buy the computer up front and then I can do what I need to with it.
But wait a minute. Are you saying you would rather buy it if you had the money? You would rather just have the money up front and buy it and not be tied down to a lease and to interest?
Well, that is always helpful, but that's not how today's world works. Like you mentioned, you see it with cell phones. You see it with everything. Everything's a payment plan now, and the hopes that you might forget it's a payment plan, too, and keep that auto pay on past when you're using it. I mean, I don't know. It'd be interesting.
So let's say it's $2,500, right? I think it's like $2,499. It actually falls for $80 a month for the Surface Book. It's 30 months. It comes down to 31 months. So essentially, you are just leasing it instead of paying it up front. I don't know. You know, this may be worth it for businesses because you also get, you know, the business package and you get 4 years of extended support for hardware.
So, that's it right there. It's for those companies and stuff. Oh, no, I dropped my Surface Book. Well, it's a good thing we're paying that monthly fee and there's insurance or whatever built into it versus just me who's like, I need a laptop that I occasionally pick up off my desk and travel with me like 2 days a month or something like that, so, where it doesn't matter as much.
So by doing the math, it does come out a little bit more than what you would normally pay if you bought it outright. But that 4 years of service, extended hardware service, can be something that is really appealing.
Most definitely.
Listen, I was considering this, to be honest, because I don't want to, you know, for my business, I don't want to go and spend another $3,000 and get a Mac or $2,500 and get another Mac. Maybe, I mean, for me, and the thing is, I got to upgrade constantly. Every 2 years, I want a new one. It's like leasing a car. I want the latest and the greatest. So I know this isn't for the consumer right now. This is for enterprise. This is for the small business owner. But this is something that could be appealing that, listen, I had this thing for 3-4 years, and then I have the option to buy it at a discount afterwards or just give it in and get a new one. I think a lot of people are just going to give it in and get a new one.
If I was doing that plan, that's what I would do. And it's not the first time Microsoft's done this. They did it with Xbox 360s like 4 or 5 years back.
Yeah, well,
they did some weird payment plan on Xbox Live, and you get your Xbox, and you pay it off per month. I can't remember exactly the details of it, but it was an experiment. Evidently, it paid off dividends. They're going to do it with computers now.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, who'd have thunk it? I thought this was pretty cool. I want to do some more homework on it. You know, when I was reading the subscription service, an article popped up just then, and I remember reading about it quickly, and the article I had read was really convoluted at the time. This one pretty much dumbed it down for me to understand, so I got it. John, go into the last story.
So, it's possible now that sharing your Netflix password is a federal crime?
What?
Uh-oh. Maybe. So, there was this court ruling from a federal appeals court ruling that sort of made it sound possible like sharing your Netflix password is now a federal crime. Here's what happened is that, according to details of a court case called United States versus Nozell, David Nozell gained access to executive recruiting firm Korn Ferry's database and acquired loads of confidential information that he used to start a competing company. He did so by borrowing a current employee's password with their permission after his own credentials had been revoked. Now, the court found him guilty of this, and as a result, it almost made it sound like sharing your password is now a federal crime, because that was part of this court ruling, I guess, is that they said that this was just wrong. But then in a dissenting opinion that recognized that password sharing as a behavior that takes place across multiple spheres, not just corporate espionage, Judge Stephen Reinhardt professes password sharing ought to be no big deal, lest the court turn a bunch of people into criminals overnight. So there does seem to be some prevailing opinion here in the sense that, okay, they're not saying that it's illegal, but in certain circumstances, it can be a factor and possibly illegal.
So why were I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, so he's being punished for borrowing a password from someone who legitimately gave it to them. What happened to the person that gave him this password that violated all sorts of IT rules in whatever company that is? Shouldn't they be the big offender also?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Why did he lose his own credentials? Why were his credentials revoked?
I think he was terminated from this company. And so he started his own competing company by getting this person's information and stealing it from the company. Okay. He basically used this person's login credentials to grab information, confidential information that he shouldn't have had access to, and started a competing company.
Okay, so pretty much it's corporate espionage, and that's why it's a big deal.
There was a lot of scare initially that this ruling basically made sharing any password with somebody else a federal crime, such as your HBO Go password or your Netflix password, because Lord knows everybody shares their Netflix and HBO Go passwords with somebody that doesn't have it.
You know, I'm going to get to that in a second, but Chris, what do you make of this? What do you think?
It seems a bit over the top, just because this is a corporate espionage issue. Someone used a password they got that they shouldn't have had. There's a difference in scale between me sharing my Netflix password, which Netflix expects because they give me 4 streams on my account for some reason. There's a precedent that's scary here, but I think that prevailing wisdom will eventually come into play and it'll be like, okay, there's a difference between sharing your Netflix and Hulu stuff and sharing your password so someone can rob your old company blind.
Yeah, I think that's basically what this other judge, Judge Stephen Reinhardt, was getting at is that it would be criminalizing a whole heck of a lot of people overnight if this was the new law, if sharing your password was illegal, because there's so many people that do this now, and it might be against the terms of service for certain companies, but at the same time, it shouldn't be a federal crime.
Yeah, it's so sticky, right? Like, you're sharing it with, like, if I share my password with my mother, is that a federal crime? Should it be considered a federal crime? No. Absolutely not.
I'm with you.
So I actually had a weird thing happen on my Hulu. You know, if you log into Hulu, you could actually see all the devices that are logged into your account. My phone is very excited for this. You could actually see that. And when you look at it, I had like 10 devices that I have no idea what they were.
You probably have a lot more device churn than I do, I wager, though. So
I have no idea what they were. And they were all Xbox accounts. So it actually gave me the Xbox usernames. And I looked them up. I have no idea who these people are. I think what happened was,
out your password one time.
I think
hey,
I get no.
Guys,
well,
use my Hulu.
Yeah, well, I've done that in the past, right? I've given it to friends or I've given it to like relatives. I'm starting to wonder if they're giving my password away to people. And they're like, "Oh, you don't have Hulu? Don't worry about it. I use my brother's account. I'll give you the password."
That's possible too. Can't you go and revoke their access through?
I did.
Hulu
I did
panel?
Revoke it. I did revoke it. Yeah,
because well,
I know
cussing you right now.
Yeah. Well, I know which one John. I know which one John is. I could see him in here. Fire
TV. Check your Hulu abilities tomorrow. Or tonight,
well, he's not. I revoked all the Xboxes because I have no idea what the Xboxes were. Everybody else, I could kind of figure out. Like the Bravia TV, I know what that is. That's Spencer's TV. So it's interesting that you could do that. Also, in the Hulu settings, you could. There's a weird thing for like. They participate in the Nielsen program for ratings, and I turned mine on. It was by default off.
Strange.
Yeah. So you could
think it'd be the other way around.
Yeah. It was off, which I was surprised. So I turned it on, and they also there's an ad tailor quite. I mean, I have ads disabled. I pay the $11.99, but you could actually have the ads kind of target what you're into. If you guys have Hulu.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yep. Let me tell you. I actually. I'll pass. I use Hulu way more than I use Amazon nowadays. Amazon or Netflix. I'm rarely using Netflix at this point. I use Amazon since Hulu came up with their no ads package. That's all I use now. It's actually great.
Huh. I haven't used Hulu in a few years. I might have to try it again.
Yeah, you know what? I had Hulu for years and I hated it because the ads were so invasive. It was so often and it kind of sucked. It was the same three ads. But now with their $11.99 package, where it's essentially ad-free, it's way better than... It's almost like having, you know, a cable subscription because everything is on there immediately.
Interesting.
Yeah. So something to consider. If you haven't considered Hulu for a while, something to consider. Guys, we are getting ready to wrap up, but after the show, I'm actually going to record something here. I want to talk about this microphone with you guys if you have a couple minutes. Because people have been asking about it and why I like it, and I've been asked so many questions. So I wanted to record that and post that on YouTube as well. But let's go down the list. Any plugs, John? What are you up to? What have you been doing?
You can follow me on Twitter at Suncast. That is with a K and not a C.
With a K. Suncast with a K, not a C. Do you get a lot of the C?
I don't know because I don't have that account, so I have no idea if anybody ever uses it.
If one thinks you're that hose reel magnet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, where can people find? I mean, they can find you at 1,000 places, but list them all off. Let people know where they can find you.
So if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at the Chris Farrell. That's F-E-R-R-E-L-L, just like the comedian. And to find my podcast, head on over to gunnageek.com. You can click on the podcast network button there, and you'll see all of the podcasts make up that network and all the ones I'm on also. And because I have a bad, bad habit of podcasting way too much.
How many do you do now, total?
I'm up to 4 right now.
Yeah, what was my max, John? 11?
I was doing 6 once, and that killed me.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything now. I just do like 3 and I'm done, right? I do 3 shows now, John?
Well, you guys spend all that time at press catching Pokemon. So.
I do, and you know, I got a baby too, so it makes things a little bit harder.
So when's GFQ doing their Pokemon Go podcast?
Well,
now?
That is something that we're discussing now, aren't we? That is something that maybe we should talk about, Chris. Chris, maybe we should talk about this.
Maybe.
So what are the 4 podcasts that you do?
So I do, you mentioned at the top of the show, I'm on the Gunna Geek Show, which is the flagship show of the network, which kudos to our producer, Steven, who's been doing some awesome video production work. I saw on my Facebook look back a year ago, we were literally just 4 Skype frames in a box that was being broadcast out. Now he's doing transitions and crazy stuff like that. I do an Arrow fan podcast called the Starling Tribune, where we recap episodes of Arrow. And right now we're discussing Legends of Tomorrow during the off season. I also host a solo podcast, which has been a project I wanted to start for years, and I finally got comfortable enough to do it about November timeframe, where it's called Nerd Alert News. I basically go and talk about what I think is the cool nerdy news of the week and sprinkle in some opinions. It was kind of a personal growth thing for me because I never thought I could pull off a solo podcast.
Listen,
yeah, and you're live streaming it now too, aren't amazing. You?
I'm experimenting with it. When OBS doesn't blow up on me, then I live stream it. Sometimes it blows up on me.
Oh, look, there's me.
There's Suncast. How'd that happen?
GunnaGeek.com. Guys, go definitely check them out because they do some really high quality stuff. You guys have really good production value. It's a very, very well put together website and show. You guys should be really proud of what you guys do.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. We've been working very hard, all of us, to grow it and make it better.
Look, I'm looking here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 shows.
Yeah, plus there's some in the archives, too, that are no longer active. So we've established kind of some back catalog now, which helps a lot.
That's excellent. How many people are on the network total?
Ooh, it's probably mid-teens, early 20s, I'd have to go and count. I have a Facebook group that has everyone in the network in it, so I would have to go and check there.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's so awesome. Guys, GunnaGeek.com, go check them out. Check us out, GFQNetwork.com. We're everywhere podcasts are available. Subscribe to the show, Tech News Weekly. We have an audio version, a video version. Subscribe there. If you want to help us out, you want to continue supporting the GFQ Network, do so by using our Amazon link, gfq.co/Amazon. That's gfq.co/Amazon. Bookmark it. And whenever you make a purchase, go to that bookmark. And we get a small percentage of the sales. And it's a major, major help. I'll tell you that. It's humongous how much we have to upgrade stuff here. The camera's going bad. The lighting is going bad. We have to redo the set. I need to redo this desk. We have new
computers.
We need to upgrade new computers. John needs computers a new production machine. What did you say, John?
Computers are expensive when you do what we do.
Yeah, so
just lease them from Microsoft. You'll be fine.
Or we can lease a Surface, and that will be fine. It'll be done. Guys, go there. Also, if you want to tip us, you want to fund us, go to patreon.com/whatthetuck. That's patreon.com/whatthetuck, and you can fund us over there. Until next time, guys, take care.